Good morning, Aurora, and happy Diwali.
Good morning.
First of all, and welcome back to our studio.
Thank you very much for having me.
I was trying to recollect because I know we talked already some years back, either 2 or 3 years back, somewhere there.
About that.
And actually, there's a quite a long path between that interview and today. A lot have happened, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because you came as an explorer of intentional communities, and you stumbled upon Auroville somehow, or it was on your list, I don't recall. So how your story goes?
So yeah, the adventures continued after Auroville. I went to Thailand and I filmed at an eco ashram where they were teaching the monks how to live sustainably to be role models for the villagers around. And I got into the International Network of Engaged Buddhism through this. And I made a film about INEB as well, where they were teaching English in a very engaging way to people who wanted to be activists.
Yeah.
So they would, instead of just having a classroom where you learn English, they would actually take the students out to meet different activists and pioneers and role models, essentially role models. And then the students could interview them and practice their English in this way, rather than just through a textbook.
Sounds really cool, huh?
It was really, really nice, yeah.
And Findhorn, you all ended before or after?
Findhorn was before.
It was before, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Afterwards, also, I went to the Philippines, and I filmed at Maya Earth Eco Village. And they're part of the Global Eco Village Network in Genoa. And they had a 5-day conference called the Emergence Convergence, which is putting 80 people together without any plan, no organization, no structure, and just to see what organically happened.
So what happened?
Magic.
Magic.
It was beautiful. It really was. It was so beautiful because the range of people who were there was so eclectic. You'd have doctors, nurses, physicians, like hippie musicians that are just traveling around, army officers, teachers, like it was really a wide range of people, and everyone there had to do the raw food diet, so everyone was just eating raw food, and many people were just doing coconut fasts, so it was incredible. And from that I then met a monk a Buddhist monk who lived in the Philippines, the only one on this island, and they called him Brother Ben. And I stayed with him for a few days and filmed him helping and the interaction he had with the slums that he lived in. So he would go around with his alms bowl in the morning, doing the prayers and collecting the food from the people. But then he would also give back through the means of his phone and Facebook. He would take pictures of the sick people and put them in contact with doctors and things on Facebook. And then people would donate after seeing the pictures on Facebook. And that was his way of giving back to the community. It was very beautiful.
I can imagine, yeah. But also your way is similar to that, because I remember when we were talking the first time, you said, I'm traveling to see intentional communities, and then I'm trying to capture the truth, and I give that video to the community as a gift, as my gift contribution to that, yeah?
Yes, yeah. This
and
is what I continue
the to. Other charitable trait of yours is also, or passion, is renewable energy and eco-villages, right?
I'm really just interested in exploring an alternative lifestyle. So rather than just conforming into the system, I like to explore other ways, be it through intentional communities, eco-villages, also exploring green solutions and technologies. I think it's good to rejuvenate the land and to give back rather than just taking it.
You've seen a lot. Did anybody succeed?
Many people have succeeded in their own ways. There's so much inspiration out there and so many beautiful stories, but there is not just one answer. There's many answers to all the questions.
It's also, we are so diverse. I mean, also the geographical diversion contribute to that, yeah?
Yes.
Out of all the beauty and really various styles and approaches to something better or higher, maybe, how did you end up in Auroville? Or what was the, like, a decision point? Because you became a newcomer, right?
Yes, yeah. and almost finished through my process of newcomer. Yes. So what? Okay, so...
Or if you remember, maybe the moment I said, yeah, you see, still I would... Yeah. Why horrible? Why not?
So for me, I think I always say it wasn't me that made the decision. The decision was made for me. I literally just went with the flow and what organically felt right. And when someone suggested for me to start my newcomer process, I got the form. Within 2 days, it was done. It was in the old system, so I had, you know, my 3 references, and just very easily it just happened. And it felt right. It felt so good. I didn't push for anything. And then returning back to Oroville, it felt like coming home. It felt really, really nice and warm, and the people I knew and the people I was still yet to meet as well.
Still so many to meet now.
Yeah, and still many more. And the main thing that I really connected to was the dream of the mother and the charter. So powerful, and I felt that it was my dream that I had as a child. You know, really, I felt so familiar with it, and I think you can see with all my story and travels of what I've done, it's something I embody, and I would like to take it even further. And I see Oroville as a space that this is possible to explore.
But we're still not there yet.
No. But that's the fun.
Lagging behind.
That's the fun part of it, though, because we're continuously evolving, exploring and changing. And this is what I love about Oroville, because there's no fear of change. You know, there's no perfection. And that's the, for me, the exciting point is striving for something, but it's the journey. It's not the destination.
The journey is usually more fun than the destination.
Yeah, exactly.
And now we come to the part where it's like, what do you do now? Because you are fully engaged in outreach media, and we see you running around with camera practically everywhere, which is happening in culture or the other way. So what do you do, and how do you do it?
Yeah, currently I'm full-time in outreach media, and I see my role there as a way of documenting what's going on, but connecting and being a bridge. For a reason, if people can't make an event, it's nice to have a short video about this. So I do just 2-minute videos, clips of highlights and the build up towards the 50th. It's on the Outreach Media website and on YouTube for people to see. The series is called A Glimpse into Oroville. Yeah, 2 minutes is a glimpse, and it's just to reconnect. Oroville is actually quite big, and it's a nice bridge and stepping stone for people who maybe are too spread out and can't do everything that they want to do. So just by seeing a 2-minute video might learn or share something with someone, and then it links with the radio, and if people want to hear more, it's all available.
Yeah, we are documenting a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on in Oroville. This is also the great thing. There's so many amazing teachings, lectures, people coming in to speak and share about things.
It's really a flow, actually. You don't need to go nowhere, because people do come in and they do offer things.
Yeah.
Which otherwise you will have to chase them from that point to the other point.
Exactly. Yeah, I see. I'm still continuing my travels, but it's all in Oroville now. I don't have to travel the world.
You just wait here.
Yeah, I just stay here and they all come to me.
But you are pretty independent still, because you have your own blog, you have your YouTube channel, you have your Facebook. I mean, you are active in social media. Yeah. So you could be easily said that you're an independent worker as well, right?
Yes. So I've established Aurora's Eye for quite a few years now, and this is something I think I would like to pursue more in Oroville, and possibly create a unit for Aurora's Eye and have a team of other filmmakers and crews together to help with the documentation of what's going on.
How would you financially support yourself?
This is a question that I leave to the divine.
Yeah, there's a money thing there, otherwise you are serious, no?
Yeah, so for me, like, I don't like discussing money. I don't like money being an issue. I know it's reality. Mm-hmm. But my goal right now is to try and see beyond that. And when the money question slaps me in the face, then I'll deal with it then. But let's see what happens. I believe in divine timing and I believe everything happens for a reason. So right now we have something to learn through this. We have to struggle a little bit. For me, I feel very privileged. I come into Auroville now. It's abundant with trees and forest and buildings and water. And I've been doing a lot of research into the past, and I see how difficult those times were to begin with. So I feel I've just stepped into paradise, which is already created for me. But then there's the maintenance struggle. So that's the reality, and that's the struggle that I have to see, because I didn't have to struggle planting trees and making shade and houses. Mm. So I have faith in this journey of how it is, and I do believe one day we will all be supported as we're meant to be, but maybe it's not meant to be right now. It's a lifestyle change. If we change our lifestyles, we can adapt to anything we want. I think it's possible to live off of maintenance if we really change the way we perceive our living conditions. But it's a drastic change, and maybe it's not the most comfortable of change. So it's up to the individual. The main thing I see with the maintenance is it's okay, we can live off it, but as soon as something goes wrong or breaks down, which happens a lot in this especially conditions.
If you have a puncture, if you have a serious thing on a bike.
Then there's
the
a problem.
Maintenance is not enough, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe this is where the community has to come together and support each other. And this is something that, you know, I feel...
It's on a conscious level, no?
Yeah, and I think this is something we could all work on a bit more. So this actually leads, I've just initiated another, I don't know what to call it, like group or workshop or something. It's called Random Acts of Kindness.
You initiated it?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it's Youth Link.
No, it was me. This is not under any umbrella. It's not a Youth Link project.
It's just a random act of kindness.
It's just random, and it's owned by everybody. Mm-hmm. Not anybody in particular, but everybody. And this concept just came to me one night when I couldn't sleep. And I was feeling a little bit low, and I would see the beauty in the random acts of kindness people were doing for me. And I wanted to share this. So I came up with this concept of once a week, a group meet in a different location at different times.
Thursdays, right?
Sorry?
It's Thursday.
Well, I'm thinking about changing the day so different people can come each time, but it has been the last two Thursdays. The first one was 2 weeks ago. We came to town hall. And we gave shoulder massages to the people working in town hall while they were at their computers and desks, and it was incredible. The joy and the laughter and the goodwill that we just really filled this building up with so much fun. At the end, we gave everyone a small card saying, "Rack, please pass it forward." And just if people so wish, they can do another random act of kindness to somebody else and just help spread this goodwill around Auroville.
Really nice.
And then last week we went to PTDC and we had 15 children from Deepenham School join us.
Wow, that's even more fun.
Yeah, it was with the energy of the children, they just go up to anybody and hug them, you know, and there's no fear. There's no thinking, shall I, shan't I, or is this the right time? They just beeline and go straight for it. And, you know, it was a little bit of a shock to some people, but I think they embraced it even more because of this. And, yeah, it was beautiful. We did some sweeping. We helped the ladies in the kitchen a little bit with some cleaning. And generally, we just hugged everybody that came through.
Really nice.
Yeah, it was really beautiful.
Exchange of the energy and maybe uplifting some people. So with that, you have, you said you took children from Deepenham, but basically I think you have Youth Link youngsters.
So, yeah, when I first pitched the idea, because I'm a member of Youth Link also, I did it in one of the meetings. So they have supported me in this project and everyone loves it. My frustration was with Youth Link is that it became very meeting orientated. Well, my life generally, not just Youth Link, but my life just was running from one meeting to another meeting to another. And I wanted to do something more hands-on that would have an instant reaction, you know, that I could see straight away I was doing something good. because everything right now is for the future, and I wanted in the
present.
Wanted
something
moment.
Now, no? So yeah. Like it's keeps
it's
you
uplifting and feels good.
Keep you going,
and,
yeah.
So this is where how this began, this initiation. It's you do it straight away. You feel so much joy after giving a hug or doing a good deed to someone, it spreads. I've seen it. I've been racked twice. Someone keeps putting flowers on my cycle in the morning. So I wake up and on my saddle of the seat, there's flowers. And a couple of days ago, someone put outside my door the rack card. So already I'm seeing it come around full circle. It's very nice.
It's really beautiful. Huh?
Yeah. So please, everyone, spread goodwill and do a good deed randomly to someone today.
Okay. I think we are done for today, no? More or less. And I'll be seeing you a bit more good news or whatever, right?
Yeah.
All the best. I know you're going to be super busy because the 50th anniversary is just around the corner.
Yeah, it is. So but we're calling out to anyone who wants to help documentate this. Please come to Outreach Media. We're looking for photographers, video filmmakers, writers, anyone that wants to help. We're trying to collaborate and get some good teams together.
You need people who are skilled, so they can be also unskilled and you provide some training maybe?
Honestly, we don't have the facilities or the people right now for training, so people who have skills would be good. It doesn't have to be professional skills, but at least a basic level. And then we can help with
upgrading the level of knowledge.
Yeah. But an entry level would be good for now because already the work has begun.
Yeah. Serena, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
Beautiful day.
And you too. Happy Diwali.
Happy Diwali.